So the question is, you know, for the many of the incarnations, we don't have adequate historical proof. So either some people think of it as mythological, others treat it as metaphorical, meant for drawing some lessons. So how do we understand these pastimes? Did this happen on this planet or other planets? Firstly, we have to understand the way we study history right now is a very recent historical phenomenon. Prior to Newton and the Newtonian way of doing knowledge, the purpose of history was not material fact keeping. The purpose of history was not precise recollection. The purpose of history was moral instruction. Whether we look at Greco-Roman history, whoever are the thinkers who have, there, for example, the history of the Roman empires, or prior to that, the Greek philosophers, the people are not really concerned about precise facts, because the focus of history is not just to know. At least before the Newtonian way of looking at knowledge came up, the purpose of history was not to know exactly what happened, but to learn from it principles for our living. So that's why in the past, people did not bother about keeping precise evidences for what happened. One of the characteristics of the modern way of acquiring knowledge is doubt. You know? The default attitude is doubt. As soon as you tell something, you try to find out how it is fault. So, well, this was not the attitude in the past, and that's why people often didn't bother about keeping precise historical records. So, as far as the avatars are concerned, we have to understand that we cannot apply one approach of acquiring knowledge on knowledge that is acquired or taught using another approach. Just like, to give a simple example for this, you know, we have Ayurveda and we have allopathy. Both are systems for taking care of health. But you say in allopathy, an Ayurveda concept is you have to have a good jathara agni, good digestive fire, strong digestive fire is essential for health. And now if you look at allopathy, there is no concept of digestive fire. The whole concept is not there. Why is that? Because it's a different way of looking at things. So now it is not that Ayurveda is right or allopathy is right. It is just that there are different ways of acquiring knowledge. And if we try to evaluate Ayurveda using allopathy, we will feel that Ayurveda is all counterfactual. And if we try to evaluate allopathy using Ayurveda, we may say allopathy is very aggressive, intrusive, whatever. So the point is that we, if we are patients, what do we do? Well, if I am sick, you know, I don't go and do a doctoral thesis on Ayurveda, then do a doctoral thesis on allopathy, and then decide which is the best treatment, then I take the treatment. Oh, if I have a sickness, I'll die before I do any of the thesis. Isn't it? We see for us which makes sense and which works. Which makes sense and which works. And then we adopt that system. So similarly, when we approach scripture, now if we approach scripture with the attitude of evaluating all the facts in scripture with the attitude of modern science, if we study scripture through the lens of modern science, it will be very difficult to make sense of scripture, because they are two different ways of acquiring knowledge. Now, important thing is that it is, we may say, but science gives us knowledge, why should we not approach with science? Why should we not approach scripture through material or scientific historicity? History is basically knowledge of history. Historicity is the historical authenticity of something, or the evidences that prove the historical authenticity of something. So these are two different branches of knowledge. So science focuses on certain things. But even within the scientific worldview, as it exists, there are many things which are left out. Science is like a map for understanding the world. You know, there was a famous author, E.F. Shoemaker. He wrote a book called Small is Beautiful. So he describes in his journey that, he describes his experiences. He went to Russia. At that time it was USSR. And then he had a map of Moscow and he was going around Moscow. And he said that, I'm confused. I can see all these big churches, but I don't see any of the churches on the map. So yeah, he was confused, and his travel guide asked, what is the problem? He said, I don't see any churches. He said, the Russian government, the Soviet government has a policy not to show any churches on the map. Because communism was officially atheistic. And Karl Marx considered that religion is the opium of the masses. So they wanted to destroy religion. So they had the churches actually existed. But on the map, they had by policy, they would not show the churches. So science, as it is taught in today's educational system, is like that. Science, as a matter of policy, does not mention anything spiritual. Science looks for material causes for material phenomena. And it does not explore anything non-material. Now, there are some scientists who are atheists. All scientists are not atheists. So, there are some scientists who... So, this is a methodology of science. It is called, to be technical, it is called methodological naturalism. Naturalism, the way scientists use it, it is materialism basically. So, as a methodology, we will look for material causes for material phenomena. But some scientists go from methodological naturalism to metaphysical naturalism. Metaphysical naturalism means they say that metaphysically, in terms of physics, nothing apart from the material exists. So the approach of science is that nothing apart from the material matters. And the approach of atheists is nothing apart from the material exists. But the important thing is, scientific worldview itself leaves a lot out. It does not tell us four things, broadly speaking. It does not tell us anything about values. What is right, what is wrong. Now, science can tell us that if we put arsenic in our grandmother's breakfast, we can get her inheritance soon. But science itself cannot tell us whether we should do such a thing or we should not do such a thing. Science cannot tell us anything about origin. Where everything came from. That is a question beyond science. Science cannot tell us anything about purpose. What is it that we are living for? Science cannot tell us anything for qualities. I have got a whole seminar on science and spirituality. And basically, science and spirituality largely talk about two different domains of knowledge. So again, four things I said quickly. Values, origin, purpose, and qualities. Qualities means that when I see a red color, so for example, this is red. I don't just see the redness, it is not just red, the wavelength, the electromagnetic waves corresponding to red are entering my eyes, but actually I am experiencing redness. A camera may also see this redness, but it will not experience redness. So, the experience of redness is something which science can't explain at all. Now, for example, if you are making a poster and use Photoshop, you know, the computer can tell us, this is the percentage, okay, you are 33% red, 43% green, 7% yellow. But the computer cannot tell us, this is a beautiful image. That is something which the observer has to decide. So the experiences of qualities. Now we can have a cooking machine, which can tell us, okay, this has been cooked for 15 minutes. Or this has risen to this temperature. But the oven, no matter how sophisticated it is, it cannot tell the cake is delicious. It's not a matter of greater scientific progress. No, it is just no matter how much science progresses further, we will get knowledge more and more of facts. But values, purpose, origin, qualities, these are not materially quantifiable. These are not mathematically measurable. And when we study scripture, we do it for a different purpose. So when we focus on scripture, if we try to, certainly we can get some, even when you talk about evidence for Krishna's existence. Yes, what can we get the evidence for? We can get the evidence that there are archaeological findings in Dwarka. There is a Dwarka which has been inundated under the Indian Ocean. So we can say we may find some artifacts over there which prove that there was maybe 5,000 years ago. Yadu prince named Krishna over there. But that also cannot prove to us that Krishna lifted Govardhan here. So all that we can know through history is that a person called Krishna existed. But if you want to understand God, we have to adopt a different approach. And the point which I made, that science has its limitations, the purpose of that is not to criticize science. It is to simply contextualize science. Science is one way of acquiring knowledge. And it is not an exhaustive way of acquiring knowledge. It gives us a lot of knowledge about one thing. But it doesn't give us everything about everything. So, just like if I say the president of America is not the king of the whole world. I'm not disrespecting the president of America. I'm just telling a fact. If the president of America feels disrespected, then that's his ego. So similarly, if we point out the limitations of science, we are not criticizing science. We are simply pointing out that science is a powerful branch of knowledge, but it is a branch of knowledge which focuses on certain things. If somebody thinks of it as criticism, that is unfortunate. So science is one way of acquiring knowledge, and spirituality actually focuses on these things only, if you see. Values, purpose, origin, qualities. So the purpose of spirituality is different. And that's why when we study scripture, initially we may get some faith by looking at how there is scientifically verifiable knowledge in scripture. But after some time, we have to focus on the higher knowledge that is given in scripture. If we position science and scripture as competitors, no, science is here, scripture is here. And these are competitors. By positioning science and scripture as competitors, we devalue scripture. We devalue scripture. Scripture, you know, Prabhupada did not come to tell us how to cure malaria. You know, Prabhupada did not come to tell us how to use email. That so many other people can tell us. Prabhupada came to tell us how to love Krishna. So, and scripture is taught for that purpose. See, Arjuna fought the Kurukshetra war. It was not in the Bhagavad Gita, like sometimes some people make exaggerated claims. Like there's a politician who says, Bhagavad Gita contains a solution to all problems. Now, this is not a precise statement. Bhagavad Gita contains the principles that can help us to use the different branches of knowledge for solving various problems. It teaches the principles of living. It is not that Bhagavad Gita contains knowledge of black holes. It doesn't contain knowledge about how to cure AIDS. It doesn't contain knowledge about how to manage the nation's finances. It contains principles of living. So what happened when Arjuna spoke the Bhagavad Gita? Sorry, Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna, it restored Arjuna's determination. It restored Arjuna's confidence. It purified Arjuna's motivation. And after that, Arjuna used the knowledge of archery which he had learned earlier to fight and win the war. So, the Bhagavad Gita will give spiritual direction for the knowledge of archery that Arjuna had. Similarly, for us, we have knowledge in various branches. Scientific knowledge is also one branch of knowledge. And Prabhupada said a scientist should use the scientific knowledge to glorify God. So, we shouldn't position science and scripture as competitors. That scripture gives us a different and a higher body of knowledge. And by studying scripture with that focus, we will be able to benefit from scripture. Otherwise, if we adopt the scientific scientific attitude while studying scripture, we will always be haunted by, how is this possible? Well, it is possible because when we approach God, our definition of possible changes. When we are studying with a scientific approach, we think only the natural is possible. Whatever is naturally, mathematically quantifiable, whatever naturally observable, that is possible. But when we understand that God is omnipotent, God is the source of everything, Maya Adhikshaya Prakriti, then He redefines what is possible. And so initially, faith in science as a means of approaching God, approaching spirituality, that is fine. We have some scientific evidence for existence of soul, existence of God, that is all fine. But eventually, we need to change the way we are studying. It is science we study for material knowledge, whereas scripture we study for spiritual knowledge. Knowledge about how to live. Knowledge about what is the purpose for which you are living. That is the prime. So science makes things better. Spirituality makes people better. Thank you very much. Mr. Prabhupada.